Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Daniel Baker. Today's episode is part two of two with Julia Gutierrez, the Vice President of Education at Compliance Alliance. Julia, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Dan. Thank you so much.
Well, Julia, we're excited to have you back on the show. I know that last time we were talking, we ended by talking about the SCRA and the MLA. But before that, we were actually talking about education and having an effective education program and what it means to properly develop trainings and whatnot. As part of that, I know we briefly mentioned being aware of regulations as they're coming up or any changes that are happening to them. And I know that, that's generally viewed as part of a compliance management system. Julia, would you give me an overview? What is a compliance management system, and what should that look like for a bank?
Well, a compliance management system is really how a financial institution manages the compliance risks that are associated with just doing your day-to-day business. The CFPB breaks down the compliance management system and what we should look for varying financial institutions. But it includes things like establishing compliance responsibilities and making sure you're communicating those responsibilities to your staff and all the employees within the bank, but also ensuring that those responsibilities are actually being met, ensuring that, you know, you have internal policies and procedures in place, review operations in place, and that you really have a process in place to take corrective action when it's needed. Compliance management systems, or sometimes they're referred to as a compliance management program, they're going to vary, vastly from one institution to another. So it's important that, you know, these are designed based on a bank's size and complexity, that they're unique to your institution. But, you know, those compliance management systems are really just an entire program or an entire system that helps us to manage compliance risk in all areas of the bank. It's really just a way to look at all areas of the bank from a compliance standpoint.
So what are you going to generally see inside of a compliance management system, or an effective one? Like what is it going to address? So I know you mentioned like it covers all compliance. Like what are some specific elements are you going to see in an effective one?
So some areas that you want to make sure that you're touching on that are, you know, part of the requirements are elements such as board and management oversight. We know that anything compliance related is it's one of those top down sort of systems. It's something that starts with the top, which is your board of directors and your senior management. And it trickles down to the rest of the bank, to all other business units with the bank. One thing that I always touch on when we're discussing compliance management systems and compliance in general is that culture of compliance. And, you know, I always mention that culture of compliance is something that it starts at the top. And I tell folks all the time, if it doesn't start at the top, if it doesn't start with your board and your senior management, let it start with you. Don't ever be a part of the problem. Always be a part of the solution. So wherever you fall in that pyramid, as compliance and that culture is trickling down, let it start with you and you know, being actively involved and trying to, you know, do things from a compliance standpoint. But, you know, one of those main elements is board and senior management oversight, having a board that takes more of a proactive approach. And that's what you're going to see with these compliance management systems, is it's really a way of taking a proactive approach in ensuring that your bank is in compliance, across the board, rather than a reactive approach and saying, oh, you know, we missed something. So, you know, that's going to be with the first element. Then you're going to want to make sure that you have a compliance program that's developed. And that compliance program is going to cover all the different areas, that are important to compliance. This is deals with things like your written policies and procedures, things like that. All of the meat and potatoes that go into that program are really going to be covered under your compliance program. And then, of course, we never know if something is working without having a test on it. So auditing is going to be a huge part of your compliance management system to ensure that everything's working. And if it's not, what do we need to do to get it there? What do we need to do to get it working and to make sure it's working correctly?
And obviously, as you said before, that this isn't one size fit all, right? So, I mean, you could in theory have one person be responsible for drafting the policies, and they could also be part of the audit process as well. Or should these roles be separated, or what should it look like when it comes to fulfilling those obligations or fulfilling those elements of that?
Well, Dan, a lot of it is really dependent on, like I said, the bank's size and complexity. Mm-hmm. You're definitely going to see a lot of overlap in some of these different functions within your compliance management system, especially in smaller institutions. And that's perfectly okay. You need to have, you know, a certain level of independence when it matters, when you're talking about certain audits and certain areas of compliance. But generally speaking, you're going to see a lot of overlap in roles and responsibilities, and that's perfectly fine. The important thing is just remembering you want to develop a program that's going to be unique to your bank. So, you know, you want to make sure that you're looking at the various areas of your bank, and you want to think a lot about consumer harm. That's a really big one. You know, we're seeing more and more consumer-driven regulations, consumer-driven protections put in place. And, you know, it's an area of focus. It's something that we see more and more as time goes on. When compliance kind of started off, when it, you know, sort of became important, it was, you know, an extra. You know, it was something that we did in addition to, on the side, as a bonus. But, you know, we've really moved into a direction where compliance is really a focal point. It's important, and a lot of it has to do with ensuring that we're protecting consumers. And that's what we see, and that's why compliance management systems are so important, because it allows us to ensure that we're protecting our consumers, making sure that, you know, they're well-informed, that there's fair treatment across the board for everybody, that, you know, we're implementing fair banking and just complying with all the rules, the regulations, the expectations. So, you know, back to your question, you can certainly have some overlap there, but, you know, you just want to make sure that you're touching on all the important areas and really looking and breaking down, you know, the regulation to see what it is that you need to include within that compliance management system.
So I know that as part of that, we had talked previously about change management. How does that operate inside of a compliance management system, or what is change management? How does that fit into this puzzle?
Well, it's change management and change. It's undisputable that we're going to see federal and state laws and regulation, particularly consumer protection laws, change and evolve at a rapid pace. Mm-hmm. So the bank is really left with this responsibility of keeping pace with the industry changes in order to promote, you know, fair and transparent financial services, products and services. Ensuring that, you know, we're staying abreast and staying up to date with the changes that are coming down the pipeline, that's something that's going to be really important in ensuring that we're complying overall. So if we think about our compliance management system, you know, that's the big picture. When we start getting into things like change management, board oversight, training, all of those things, those are all of the things that go within that picture. But the big picture is your compliance management system. But change management is a huge part of making sure that overall picture looks good. Change management is really important, and it's something that, you know, is that we see really reflect in our overall rating or overall effectiveness of our compliance management system. So, you know, it's important that we're staying abreast of those changes.
So would you say, just from a perspective, would you say that a compliance management system is like a policy about making policies, and then you have policies inside of that, that like how this operates, how that operates?
That's a good way to put it. Yes. It's the big policy. It's, you know, the real deal, and everything else kind of fits into that. It's the big picture, the big puzzle. You know, if you think of a puzzle, it's the outline. You know, we always put together a puzzle, and when we're doing it, you know, I would say 90% of us do the outside first. We always do the square, and then we, you know, work so into the middle. Right. And a compliance management system is much the same way. You kind of set the parameters of what your overall goals are. And, you know, all of the other policies, procedures, pieces that go within that are all those puzzle pieces to make a whole picture.
That's good.
You know, just to, you know, finish up, you know, another thought on the change management, you know, having that a process in place to be able to stay abreast of, you know, kind of what's coming down the pipeline is something that really helps financial institutions to identify and appropriately respond to those changes that we're seeing in laws, but particularly consumer protection laws and regulations. So it helps banks to effectively implement those changes to their products and services so that they can ensure that they're still providing, you know, good customer service, but also in a compliant manner. So, it's something that's important. We've got to know about those changes, and we'll see that change management is also, part of a rating system. So if you look at the Uniform Interagency Consumer Compliance Rating System, more commonly known as the CC rating system, we see that it, touches on change management, and the system, that rating system recognizes the importance of a bank's consumer compliance management program and its role in aiding financial institutions in maintaining their commitment to consumer protections using this rating system and as it relates to change management.
So as part of this, then, obviously it comes down to effectiveness. I mean, the importance of having an effective change management system, the importance of having an effective compliance management, and that kind of comes down to having effective policies. So I know part of what you do is you help out a lot on the review side of things at Compliance Alliance as well. And I know that you personally, you've reviewed a lot of policies, and you've drafted policies, and you've worked on policies, and you've done any number of different things. So what are kind of the elements? I'd like to pick your brain. What are the elements of an effective policy? So if a compliance officer is reviewing their policies, what should they be looking for?
I think one of the most important things when you're talking about policies and written programs is consistency. Consistency is something that is, it's a key to compliance. When we do things over and over and over, it sticks with us. We tend not to make mistakes. We tend to make sure that we're reviewing those important areas. And your written program should be very similar. So if you were to look at most of our template policies for Compliance Alliance, you would see that there's sort of a layout. There's a template there. We have template policies that provide, the requirements, the major areas of things that need to be included within a written program. But if you also look at policy side by side from one policy to another in those templates, you'll see that there is consistency in the layout. We always open up with a policy statement, letting the reader know, hey, this is the purpose of the policy. Then, we follow up with enforcement authority. Who has the enforcement? Who has authority here? What are responsibilities related to this policy? And then somewhere closer to the end, you'll see training, audit, and monitoring. And then you'll see record retention. And that's just kind of the layout that we've used. And I know when I pick up a policy, if it's, one of our template policies, I know it's pretty much going to follow that format. And what that does, when we have that consistency, is it allows me to pick up someone else's policy. And I know right off the bat to look for certain elements. And those are things like your policy statement, your training, your record retention. And I find that to be really helpful. And that's something I found to be really helpful, even in my banking experience in those compliance roles, is having that consistency. I tell folks all the time when we're talking about your written program, your compliance management system, hey, what can we do? What can we do to make it better? What can we do to make it effective? And I always, add consistency is key. Having that work on the front end to lay everything out in a consistent manner. It's a lot of work on the front end, but on the back end, I know when I open up a template policy of ours, I go straight to the back, and that's where I'm going to find training, or that's where I'm going to find record retention. I go straight to the front, and I'm going to find a policy statement. So if you have that same consistency within your financial institution, and you have that from one policy to another within your program, it's going to make life a lot easier in the long run. Anytime you have to go and make updates or changes, you know exactly where it is in your policy, and that consistency goes a long way in maintaining the program.
Yeah. So I had someone go over the different elements, and you mentioned four of them right off the top. So like board approval, oversight, training, audit, record keeping, record retention. How important would you say something like policy exceptions is? Is that something else that you would be looking for inside of policies?
I think having an element for policy exceptions is certainly important. A lot of times we kind of write policies that say, we're going to do this, this, and this. And it just kind of leads the reader to believe, and the reader being your examiners or your auditors, that these are the only ways you're going to do things. But we all know that there's always an exception to the rule. And so rather than trying to, document that somewhere down the road in your, you know, board minutes or what the reasoning is. I think it's a great idea on the front end, you know, right off the bat to go ahead and touch on those exceptions to policy within your policy. Mm-hmm. So that way it lets your reader, your examiner, your auditors know that, hey, this is our general policy, but if there's ever exceptions, you know, this is how we handle it. Yes. And it just makes that process a little easier.
So then let's if you don't mind, let's pick into these a little bit. So board oversight. I know we've mentioned board oversight quite a bit and the importance that compliance start with the board. But what should board oversight of a policy look like? Are we talking about literally the board has to approve that policy every single year or every month or every quarter? Like what should board oversight look like?
Well, you generally want to have your board, you know, reviewing your policies on an annual basis as part of your compliance management system or compliance management program function. When we talk about that, again, that overview, the, mm-hmm. you know, outline of your program, it has board management or board oversight, excuse me, and senior management oversight. And so part of that is having your board review those policies on an annual basis. Other things that the oversight may include are for policies that maybe require specifically that the board is responsible for the overall functions. If we look at our compliance management system, mm-hmm. Our board of directors is ultimately responsible for the compliance of that program. If we look at our, you know, BSA function, the board is ultimately responsible for the compliance of that program. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, the board has to worry about those day-to-day functions. Those day-to-day functions are allocated to, you know, your compliance officer, your BSA officer, or, you know, other roles mm-hmm. within the bank. But the ultimate responsibility of the compliance of those programs is going to fall into the lap of the board. So it's always important to have the board, you know, included for enforcement authority. But it doesn't always, you know, rely on the board or have to have the board for the enforcement of those policies. There are certain changes that can be done by senior management or by a committee, mm-hmm. and that's something that can always be included. But, you know, including those things in your policy as an element are a really nice way of just making sure that you're touching on it. So it's not something you have to go and do down the road somewhere, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the year. And again, add this into your board minutes or, you know, note somewhere within a memo of, you know, why you made an exception or why, you know, the board wasn't involved or why you had to get somebody else involved. So just go ahead and include it right off the bat by having that board oversight included.
Just establishing who's responsible for the policy and what the roles are with that. Yeah. So then the next one would be audit. And audit, arguably one of the most important elements, I think, of any policy, because audit's how you determine whether or not you're following the policy. What should the audit look like? What should that include?
Some of the things to consider including when it comes to audit is, you know, what you're going to be looking at. What's the scope? Even if you don't say, you know, all of the specific details, you know, the scope of what that audit is going to look like. It's like we're going to review this program in its entirety. It's in the frequency. It's always important to include the frequency mm-hmm. when you're able to. This is going to be done on an annual basis. This is going to be done, you know, every 18 months. But it's a good idea to include the frequency. Now, I know a lot of financial institutions are reluctant to include that frequency because it's like they're tied to it. You know, they don't want to say 12 mm-hmm. months because sometimes it's 12 to 18 months. Or, you know, they don't mm-hmm. want to say, you know, we do it every 6 months, but we don't want to say that just in case we change something. But you can still include periodics. Absolutely. So you want to kind of leave yourself a little bit of a little wiggle room there. So, you know, you can say things like we're going to try, you know, the goal is to conduct auditing and monitoring, you know, every 6 to 12 months or, you know, every 6 months annually or as needed, something like that. Mm-hmm. You can certainly include, but where you're able to include that frequency. So everyone is on the same page. So your examiners can pick up your written programs and know exactly what your bank is doing and how those audits and monitoring is working.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. Just being able to lay out a clear range, like even just a range itself, I think is very effective. So we touched on board oversight, we touched on audit, we touched on exceptions. So that really leaves the last two. And I feel like maybe you could correct me if I'm mistaken that they're kind of self-explanatory, but the last two are going to be your training and your record keeping. What would you touch on about those two?
Same thing for record keeping. Just touch on mainly the time frame that you need to maintain those records, and maybe who's responsible for maintaining the records and where they're maintained. A lot of our record retention is done electronically. So just, you know, note that. It doesn't have to be, you know, a long explanation for what the bank is doing, but just a general time frame, again, including that time frame or that frequency. For training, same thing. You want to make sure that you're including the frequency, the audience, and who's mm-hmm. responsible for maintaining documentation. So
those are, I think those five elements are utterly important, and I appreciate you bringing those up. Unfortunately, we are running a little bit out of time for our part two here, but I did want to give you the chance. I always like asking my guests that if you could give one piece of advice to financial institutions in today's environment, be it a big bank, medium bank, or small bank, what piece of advice would you give them?
I think my piece of advice would be change is a good thing. I am certainly somebody that is always reluctant to change. But once the change is made, it's generally for a good reason. So I always like to say change is a good thing. You know, the world is changing, technology is changing and evolving, and we've got to change with it. So, you know, what may have worked yesterday, even in compliance or any other area of the bank, if it worked yesterday, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, changing it is not going to make it work tomorrow. It may work better. So, mm-hmm. you know, change can be really positive, especially in the compliance world. Just because it's not broken doesn't mean we can't fix it. Change can be a good thing. So you might as well, you know, embrace it and enjoy it, because it happens whether we want it to or not. So, and that's something I have to tell myself every day as well, but change is a good thing.
Well, I appreciate that. That's a great piece of advice. Well, Julia, thank you very much for joining us for today's episode. We really appreciate you joining us and sharing your experiences with us.
Thank you so much, Dan.
For the rest of you listening in, thank you for tuning in, and that's Banking Matters.